with warm. Thank you. Oh, this one love you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise be to God. Amen. Happy 2012. Happy. Praise the Lord. I am excited for what the Lord has done, and I'm excited for 2012. Amen. We want to rush a little bit because of our time, because there are several things that we need to do here. I want to thank God for a time that we had yesterday, for those that had an opportunity to come. And as we ushered in 2012, it was a wonderful and glorious experience. Amen. How many of you, I know most of you are here, but some of you were at work. And we thank God for Pastor Robert Kawero, who brought the word. He reminded us that if my people, which are called by my name, shall identify with the house that is also called by his name. Amen. When we settle in that position which is called by the name of the Lord, and we wait and tarry for the Lord on that particular place, then his eyes will be in that place. His ears will always be in that place. Praise be to God. That was a very revolutionizing message that we had yesterday. And I believe it's kind of like the core of what 2012 will be. Praise be to God. If we can just identify, know that this is the house that is called by the name of the Lord. And we also, being the people that are called by the name of the Lord, if we can just turn around from our wicked ways and repent and call upon him, then he says, the things that I shut down for you, I can go back and change those things for your sake. Praise be to God. I'm excited for 2012. Let me tell you, church, I'm excited for this year. I've been excited for so many years, and I get excited whenever new year comes. But for this year, I feel so excited. I'm so expectant. I feel like the Lord is going to do something so fresh, you know, in certain individuals in our church and corporately. Amen? And we better get ready. Amen? You know, when you're expectant of something, like when a woman has conceived of a child, she knows that 9 months down the road, a baby will be coming forth. And she begins to prepare even for the soon coming of that addition in their family. Praise be to God. The woman or the husband, they join together and they go begin shopping for, you know, new clothes for the baby. They even buy for they shop for a new crib. They organize for the room for where that baby is gonna be living. You know, we prepare ourselves accordingly, because a change is coming in that family. Praise be to God. And I feel that in 2012, get ready, because God is getting ready to come and extend our boundaries. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let us turn our Bibles into the book of Isaiah chapter 54. And we're going to read the verse number 1 to verse number 17. And I would really request somebody to read it for me. Whoever finds it first, please can you shout a big amen. You got it? Isaiah chapter 54, Pastor Francis. If you found it, can you read it for us? Chapter 54, beginning from verse number 1 to 17. And if you can stand and even use the microphone, I would really be honored for you to do that.
I'm reading from Isaiah 54, starting from 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry around, you who have not labored with the child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your straits. And strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and you and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. 5. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God.
Praise be to God. When I was praying and seeking the Lord concerning 2012 about the corporate things that the Lord is just about to do in our church, both corporately and individually, the Lord led me to this portion of the scripture. Now, if you read the Bible, the preceding chapter of Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah prophesies about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unveiling of the Messiah. It talks about how the Lord is going to be revealed and how the Lord would come into the earth to save mankind. And after he speaks about what the Lord was just about to do, about that he will carry our diseases and that he will be punished and taken to the cross just for the sake of humanity, then he gives us chapter number 54, which is very, very interesting. And it begins by telling us to shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child, and to break forth into a joyful shouting and crying aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. And verse number 2, the Bible tells us, enlarge the place of your tent. I want everybody to say that. Enlarge the place of your tent. Come on, own it. Say it again. Say it again. I would like you also to say, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. And spare not. Lengthen your cords. And strengthen your pegs. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Isaiah is speaking about the nation of Israel. And he is speaking about a people who had followed God by observing the law. And Isaiah speaks about the children of Israel having toiled and having worked their righteousness through other means other than the Lord before the Lord was revealed unto them. And everything that they used to do, it was so tedious and it was so, I mean, it was a magnitude of work. You remember how God sending them prophets and them killing them and offering sacrifices in the temple once a year. And a priest would go into the temple and offer the sacrifices for the sins of the people. And it was a tedious process. And when the Lord looked at the nation of Israel, it looked like they tried to work out as hard as they could in order to reach the Father. And the Lord is addressing them here in the verse number 54 and telling them that shout for joy, O barren one, that even though you have worked so hard, it is time for your rejoicing. Praise be to God. For indeed, I have just spoken to you about the unveiling. Isaiah is speaking. He's speaking in chapter number 54. After unveiling and after prophesying about the soon coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who would come and save humanity, who would come and create an access to the Holy of Holies, so that anybody at any given point after the Lord Jesus Christ has been revealed unto them would access the Holy of Holies any time of day. Praise be to God. And he is telling them, even though the old ordinances and practices, they have been so tedious, and you have worked so hard, and the Lord has also tried to get close to you and to draw you to himself. But the Lord has decided to unveil the Messiah, the ultimate sacrifice, unto the whole world. And the old is going to be passed away. The old is going to be crushed. And behold, the new system of worshiping the Lord, the new form of worshiping the Lord, a new covenant is just about to be set, whereby the Savior of the whole world is going to come. And I know you've been barren for too long. I know you may have had the desire to serve the Lord, but when the Messiah is going to be unveiled, rejoice, for your suffering has come to an end. Praise be to God. Church, you know what? It would be the greatest tragedy for us to have known the Lord and yet neglected his essence in our lives. Amen? Many times there is a possibility of the enemy trying to conform us or trying to make us feel that we cannot achieve anything, or we can achieve something by our own ability, or the realization of what really the Lord has done in our lives. If only we could, it could be revealed to us the magnitude of the position that the Lord has elevated us into and the role he wants us to play in the body of Christ. If that truth is clearly revealed to us, if that truth is clearly unveiled unto us, and for us to know that we are not just called to be some nominal Christians or a bunch of people who have just confessed their sins and are following a Messiah somewhere. If that truth is completely unveiled to us, so that we know in our knowing knowledge and within us that there is a transformation that has taken place, and that the Lord really is looking down to use a brother and a sister that has been completely delivered to a turnaround this world. If I pray, if that truth is revealed to every individual among us, church, let me tell you, life will be interesting. But the enemy wouldn't like you to know that. The enemy would want us to be myopic, whereby we live in the moment. The enemy would want us to be surrounded by things that would torment us. The enemy would want us to be surrounded by things that would impede us from seeing the light and from seeing the position which the Lord has lifted us unto. Hallelujah. I wish the Lord would unveil the fact that life is not just going to work and coming and feeding our family. Life is more than that. Praise be to God. The purposes of God in our lives are so great than ourselves. Glory be to Jesus. And for this reason, the Son of Man was manifested into the whole world, so that anybody who comes to him and anybody who believes into him, he may gain and attain eternal life. Hallelujah. Don't worry about that preacher girl, because she's going to be a preacher girl. She preaches with me. Amen. Hallelujah. If this truth is unveiled to us, praise be to God, then in spite of little things that hover and surround us, every single of our walk with the Lord would just be minimal. And you would not just concentrate or give 100% concentration on those certain things. Like, for instance, you may not even have money to pay your bills this month. Okay? For instance, you might have just a little trouble here and there. Okay, yeah, give them the water of life. Thank you. Don't worry about this girl. She's going to be a preacher girl. Amen? Are you listening to me? Don't worry. Are you listening to me? Where was I? Huh? Huh? The word of life. Huh? Where I'm standing. It's amazing how we people listen very differently. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Praise be to God. And Isaiah speaks to the children of Israel and he tells them, I don't want you to focus on those little things that have beset you. The little problems, you know, I know where I was. You might not be able to pay your bills this month. And you know, the enemy would like to get hold of our minds and we cry and we worry and we tarry there and we worry, oh God, what is going to happen? They are going to chase me out of this home. My home is going to be foreclosed. But let me tell you, the Lord who lives on the throne, he says that he knows every little sparrow that falls on the ground. And he says that the numbers, the very hairs of your head are numbered. In other words, they are labeled, you know, strand number so-and-so, strand number so-and-so, strand number so-and-so. And he cares for you. In other words, what the Lord tells us, if only you can know what it means for you to have received me as a savior. If only you know the position that I have put you. If only you know the secret of trusting me. If only you know the secret of making your temple my habitation. Then those little things are not going to worry you. Because let me tell you, I'm here to see somebody who completely trusts the Lord. And even though you may not have money, and even though you may not have everything together, but as long as you can focus on the Lord and wait on the Lord, it might be the last day when they need that rent. God will create something somehow so that you know in your head and in your brains and in your body and in your soul that the Lord is involved in your life. Hallelujah. You may not even have that food in your house. But as long as you can trust upon the Lord, God is willing and is ready to cooperate and work with us. And he can cause somebody to just think about you. I am telling you what I know because I've seen God being involved in my life. I've been telling God, God, help me to trust you more. I am not even there yet. But Lord, help me to trust you more. Help me to know that you stick closer than a brother. When everything seemed to be crumbling and just shattering away. What a comforting thought to know that the Lord will show up. What a comforting thing to know that the Lord will never leave you alone. What a comforting thing to know that the Lord has promised that he will be with you until the close of age. So don't worry. Don't even be dismayed about the little things that the enemy would like to throw at you. Because the enemy is an expert. He knows that when things are just about to break forth and miraculous into your life, haven't you seen and haven't you experienced that the moment you get into the drill of waking up sometime early in the morning and having a communion with the Father, sometimes when you're just willing to develop a habit of reading the Word of God, then suddenly something comes up. Because the enemy knows that the moment you get into the glue of knowing your position in God, it will be a difficult thing for the barren woman to cry and to shout and to sing. How can it be that when I'm barren, when I didn't have any help, when I didn't have anybody to support me, then the Word of God is telling me, shout for joy. Glory be to Jesus. And then let me tell you, church, Jesus has been unveiled unto our lives. It will be the greatest tragedy when we get up in heaven and when the Lord unveils and put me in a panoramic screen, I would assume, because that is where my limitation takes me. I see a screen whereby the things that you are supposed to claim and the things that the Lord was supposed to take you through, they pass before your eyes and you wonder, oh my God, are these the things that I was supposed to partake? And the Lord says, yes, but I wished you trusted. Use you. I wanted to take your hand, but you, every time I wanted to get hold of your hand, Tony, come here. Every time I wanted to use, to get your own help, you know what? Every time I wanted to lead you into that thing that I wanted you to accomplish, I wanted to lead you to a certain area because I knew there was a divine destiny that was connected to you. But slowly, you left your hand from my hand and you started following your own ability and you started trusting your own understanding. And that is why you lost. And every time I try to come, I would lead you a little bit and then you would slowly, slowly try to release your hand away from me. In 2012, church, listen to me. The Lord is saying, do not let that hand go. Do not let that hand go. Because God is going to lead you into the place of your destiny. And then, you know, the Lord doesn't promise. I like the singer who sang yesterday that, you know what, they never told me how the road was going to be. Sometimes you might have to go through the valleys. But the comforting thought that you may have and you should have is that I still feel his presence within me. That even though I may go through this valley almost of annihilating me, I'm almost being surmounted and the fire is too hot, I feel like giving up and I feel like stepping out of this race. But the comforting thing, Brother Gideon, is that you know that I can still feel his presence. And that, and let me tell you, when you're surrounded by people who are looking at the now moment, they might even discourage you. They might even tell you, you know what, Tony, you might as well give up that job because it is tormenting you, because it is even tormenting your family. Give it up. But you know what? The only thing you might need to tell them, hey, leave me alone, sister, because I know my believer, my Redeemer liveth, and I can feel him within me. I know that even though I may go through this fire, I know I'm not going to be burnt. Yes. Glory be to Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they chose not to bow before the image of the king, and they told King Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this, that we know our God is able to deliver us, but even though he is not willing to deliver us at this moment, we know him too much and too well. You can throw us into the fire. Glory be to Jesus. Are there some of us who are willing to be thrown into the fire just because they know the Lord too well? Just because the order and the system of the day doesn't request you or require you or doesn't cooperate with your faith. Let me tell you, the system today has been structured so that it doesn't cooperate with our faith. Look at the system in America. You have to go to work and do so many jobs so that it denies you the opportunity to come into the house of God. Now, let me tell you, sir, I'm not even, please excuse me, I really love everybody of us. I'm just mad with the system of the enemy. The enemy strategizes and he knows that if only this loved ones who are known of God, if they just come to the moment and the position whereby they can know their God, I'm in trouble. But let me tell you, God is calling us in 2012 to be more than the nominal Christian. Find some room in your house whereby, regardless of your state, regardless of your sleeplessness, regardless of your tiredness, regardless of your weariness, you can at least spend some 10 minutes with the Lord. And let me tell you, that is going to change and revolutionize your life. You might be a truck driver like I do sometimes, but let me tell you, you might dedicate your driving moment to spend time with the Maker. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter where you are. You might be working in an office, but let me tell you, you don't even have to shout and yell for people to know, for the Lord to know that you're praying. You could be, let me tell you, I could be with you right now, but my mind is tuned and is communicating with God. I could be laying down in my bed, but let me tell you, my mind is far away communicating with my Maker. I've been delivered to think that the only time that I can pray is just get to a point. Let me tell you, it is very necessary to find time to come to the house of God. But sometimes situation will not let you. But get some moment whereby you can at least flip over the pages of the Bible and hear what the Spirit is telling you. Are you listening to me, church? Cry, shout for joy, oh barren one, you have no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you have not travailed. Enlarge the place of your tent. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to put it to us this day, that every time the Lord shows up in our lives, every moment we create an environment whereby the Lord is the Lord of our lives, prepare for an enlargement. Oh, somebody didn't get that. The moment we create an environment for the Lord, it could be corporately, like in our church here. It could be maybe in our individual lives. It could be in a family setup. The man of God spoke to us yesterday that those that are called by the name of the Lord, if they turn away from their wicked ways and call upon the name of the Lord, even though he may have shut up the heavens on behalf of your family, even though he may have shut up the heavens on behalf of your individual, the secret is, my brother, my sister, listen to me. Listen to me, everybody. It's creating an environment where you know that I know without any shadow of doubt that the Lord is living in my house. That the Lord is resident in my house. And how can we achieve that? The only thing, the only way we can achieve that is by living short accounts. Listen, church. This, a few days ago, I went throughout my life and I allowed the Holy Spirit to remind me of things that I have done that are not right. People that I've not been able to communicate. We had some struggles because, you know, as long as you're a human being and you're in this world, you're not going to be in agreement with everybody. People are going to speak nasty things concerning you. And let me tell you, you're not going to rejoice and be happy and be merry. You're going to get mad. You're going to feel like you're going to strangle them. Is this new information I'm telling every one of you? Pastor, let me tell you, if somebody just opened up, you heard that somebody opened up and say, oh, you see that tall man, you think, you know, he's been walking around with a woman here and you know that it is lies. Let me tell you, you're going to get mad. And you'd feel like the next opportunity you're going to get them, you're going to strangle their neck. Yes. But you know what? The Lord doesn't call us to strangle people's necks. He calls us to live at peace with everyone and to show love to everyone. Love your neighbor just as you love your. That is the greatest commandment. The Lord says, somebody asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments that I leave you? Love the Lord God with the whole of your heart, with the whole of your soul, with the whole of your might, with everything within you. Love him. And the next commandment, Tony, love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is not you. Your wife can qualify to be your neighbor, but you love her anyway. But your neighbor is somebody who might come your way and somebody who might speak other wrong things concerning you, or somebody who you might find in a distressed position, and you go there and help them just because of what the Lord has done for you. That is your neighbor. Your neighbor not necessarily is the person who is, if you're 112B and 112A, that is not necessarily your neighbor. You know? And sometimes, you know, we cast them, especially if they live upstairs and they are running every toy. They have children who are naughty. And you say, God, can you send these people away? Get an opportunity. Who knows, maybe through that knocking, it is an opportunity to go and minister to them. Some of you are laughing. I see, you know. Praise the Lord, Sammy. Happy New Year. Your neighbor is a person. And Jesus said, he gives a parable the Samaritan. The Samaritan person who laid, and he was by the side of the road, and he says that a Levite came and passed them, you know, didn't care about them. And another teacher of the word, somebody came and passed them. But this other person, who was a Samaritan, came and found this person. He was crushed and he was sick and he was down on their face. And he decided to pick up this man, even though he didn't know him, and put him on his donkey and took him to the hospital. And he told the hospital, I'll pay his bill. And any other bill that might come up, I'm ready to pay that. If he does that, then he depicts the love of Christ. And Jesus said, go and do. He tells this other person who asked him this question, go and do the same. Love your neighbor. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me, church? It will be the greatest. I was on this point here. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. And the Bible says, spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your descendants will possess the nations and will resettle the desolate cities. You can ask me, Pastor, then why are we not really experiencing this explosion of growth and expansion? And I will tell you this, we, the Church of Jesus Christ universally, has not created an environment whereby he is Lord in our lives completely. Did you get that? Because it is in the intention of the Lord that while he is resident in our lives, see, the Lord is in everybody's heart here. The Lord is in Anne's heart, is in Tony's heart, is in Mama Moses' heart, is in Pastor Wilson's, is in Jadita's, is in everybody who has received the Lord. The Lord is resident. But let me tell you, if the Lord is, his hands are tied up, there's no way he can be activated in your life. There's no way he can be activated in your life. Do you know how to untie him? It is by cooperating him. It is by responding to the prompts that he tells you. Oh, my son, I want you to begin going to the house of God, and I want you to trust me in this endeavor. And you say, yes, sir. The people of old learned how to inquire from the Lord. I am so amazed. Abraham, Moses. Moses tells the children of Israel, you know what? I am not going, Lord. I am not even taking these people to where you're telling me to go if you're not going to be with me. You know? If such persons as Moses, who had limitations, he could not even speak. He told him, he actually, when the Lord calls Moses, he says, I'm a man slow of speech. I have weaknesses. Everybody that the Lord has called, show me one person who was perfect. Every one of them had weaknesses. Look at David, an adulterer. You know, somebody who sees a woman he cannot spare. Yeah? Yeah, the Lord uses him and he calls him, you know, a man after my own heart. We were told this, was teaching us about this the other day, that David had so many limitations. I mean, just think about it today. Can you imagine if David lived in the world today as a mega church preacher and he sees a person, you know, a lady bathing and he is taken and takes that woman and takes that woman, the husband to war? It will be on CNN. The preacher who took somebody's wife and would all banish David. But David knew the secret. Lord, I'm sorry. Please help me, God. This is what I'm talking about, church. Listen to me. In 2012, learn to go before the Lord and tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. I am sorry for what I did, Lord. I am a jerk. I am so, God, I feel so wasted. I don't even feel I want to come near you, Lord. Please, you know, Lord, please get away from me. Like Peter. Peter, you know. Jesus comes and they are told the whole night. Peter told the disciples, come on, get up, let us go fishing. The Lord is resurrected. Can you imagine? The Lord has already revealed, let's go fishing. Forget about everything. And the guys dwelt the whole night. They didn't get even nada. They got nada. Yeah? And the Lord shows up in the morning and says, oh, guys, what are you doing? And he said, okay, what have you been doing? We've been told the whole night. And he tells them, okay, now, guys, just cast your nets on the right hand side. See what it takes. It can, our abilities may take a long, long time. What the Lord will take just a fraction of a second to accomplish with us. You know? So if we have created an environment whereby the Lord will be God in our lives, then we'll be able to hear when he speaks. Because I don't believe it was the right time. Well, it was. They did that so that we can learn. But I don't believe it was the right moment for Peter to tell the other disciples as the leader, guys, you know what? Jesus called us the fishers of men. Then now, let's go do our profession. Let's go drive the truck. Yeah. Let's go do this job, man. Let's go do this. Let's go do triple. They called me to do quadruple. Let's go do it. And we might get all the money that a quadruple might make. But just because you neglected the house of God, your car, just you forgot to put water in your engine, and guess what? On 75 there, near Midway, the car just stalls. And you suddenly need exactly the money that you spend to work that quadruple shift. But if you listen to the Lord calling you, I just need 1 hour spent with me in the house of God, and I'll make your path straight. I will bless the little that you have. God is able to stretch even the little that you have, church. This is hard preaching, but listen to me, church. Sometimes we walk with our ability thinking that we know, you know, the things that it is much that matters. But the Lord is able to take, you can have $400 and the Lord stretches it out. You spend $400 or $100 buying groceries and you meet all your bills, just $400. And you are somebody who works a quadruple, what have you done with your money? Oh, you know what, I was so tired and then, you know, my child requested a $300 toy and that toy has been stolen in school. I've heard stories. In fact, one of us called me just the other day and told me, Pastor, I'm so discouraged. I bought a toy for my child for $320 and somebody took it from school. You listening to me? I'm saying that because you don't know that person, and that person is not here. But I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying it is bad to buy your toys very good gifts. But I'm just giving an illustration. I don't know what the relationship with the Lord has, but I'm just telling you, sometimes we might invest ourselves in certain things that we think that matter. But the Lord can stretch the little that you have. Are you listening to me? It is not the amount of money that you, because you can have that amount of money and doesn't even meet the needs. That is why you keep on working and working and working and working and working. Did I tell you of that person who worked? That person from one section of Western place, section of Kenya. I don't want to tell you the tribe. But this person worked and worked and worked and worked. He is certainly not from your tribe, Benny. We love you. There's no way I can really, really bring down the Western people. He's just from a little bit southwestern, let me just say that. And so this guy worked and worked and worked, and he was putting money in the bank, thinking that in about 5 days, Sister Noel, 5 years, he would go back home. And you know how much he had? He had accumulated over $56,000. And one of these nights when he came home, he was so stressed. Actually, I understand that he was not even eating. You know, he would really go and find a good burger and he'd say, no, man, I have to save the money. And the guy would go without food. $56,000. And one day he shows up in his house and I understand he was so tired and he said, oh, I need to rest on the table. Let me tell you, that was it. People found him dead like this on his table. This man did not have even a will. He didn't have nothing. He had not even communicated with his family. He wanted that to be a surprise. Surprise, hello, I've showed up with $56,000. We are going to be millionaires. But instead, the state of Texas, because that's where he lived, they took over the estate of $50,000 because he didn't have a will. And guess what? The Kenyans who knew him, they started organizing for a funeral to take him home. Can you imagine the disgrace? For so many years he has been here trying to work. He was not even sleeping. He was not even, you know, he was not even doing anything. That's what I heard about the story. So it is not, let me tell you, church, knowing God is the greatest secret that you can have. Have some time in 2012, a time that you can dedicate yourself to the Lord. There are so many avenues that you have created. There is Bible study. There is, you can come even to, you can come for prayer meeting. You can come even for other meetings, the women's meeting. Prayer meeting. Get hooked up. For indeed where the Lord is, God expects there to be prosperity, my pastor. Julius is going to be prosperity. Thank you for that Mercedes-Benz. We want many Mercedes-Benz today. There was another one. We have even BMWs. We want every kind of good things in the house of God. Amen? And Lincoln. Yes. Come on, pastor. Yes. And Lincoln. And what? What is that? Whatever it is. Coming soon. And coming soon. And coming soon. And coming soon. And coming soon. We need good things. Because where the Lord really, if we create an environment, Brother James, for the Lord to be resident, he is going to bless us. And I feel that we have started to create an environment for the Lord. Let it be. You know, corporately, it is going to work this way. When you create your personal environment for the Lord, Tony creates his environment, and everybody, individual, create your environment for the Lord. When we come together, then the Lord will be looking at that house and say, wow, I cannot believe it, and I cannot help it. I have to begin to expand the territories of these children. Glory be, supernatural favor. Somebody paying for the fees of somebody. Somebody just giving you a house for under, way under the cost value of your house. Supernatural favor, connections, starting up movie that will sell millions and benefiting the entire neighborhood and the whole church. We can make it, church, if we can create an environment for God in 2012. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Oh my God, fear not. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Notice, he says tent. He doesn't say a permanent building. Did you know about a tent? A tent can be pitched up from one place and it is expandable, easily expandable. If you put up a permanent building, unless you come and knock down those walls so that you can build other, but a tent is a temporary thing. That means that where you are and the situation where you are is expandable. If we can create an environment, then you can pinch it up and stretch it out. Pinch it up and stretch it out. Keep on pinching up and stretching out. You can expand it, unlimited ways of expanding it. Hallelujah. And when I'm talking about prosperity, I'm not talking about money alone. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about the love for one another. I'm talking about divine blessings that the Lord has designed for us, so that you can walk in that place of work and God gives you supernatural favor. No tongue shall raise against you in that office. When they think of somebody to promote you, they are thinking about you. You might even have 200 people, white and black and yellow and blue, but because you're the child of God, as they sift out those people, you will remain erect and they will select you. That is what I'm talking about. These are divine blessings. If only we create an environment for the Lord to be present in our lives. As for me and my house, I have decided that I want to create that environment. Glory, 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 glory. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Are you listening to me? And your descendants will possess the nations and will settle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband, somebody say that. For your husband, my husband is my maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. And he is my redeemer. He is the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Your husband has come. Your husband has come. And everything, the husband is supposed to represent the priest of the home. When the husband is near, when the children are so disobedient or they are running around, wait until that Baba comes into home. And he just say, I'm in the house. And those children begin everything to tarry and to do whatever their mama tells them to do. Why? Because the husband has an authority. The husband has come to declare good tidings over your lives. In the name of Jesus, whatever door that has been shut, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn around from their wicked ways and create an environment for that house that has been called in the name of the Lord. That is exactly what the man of God preached to us. Then his eyes are going to be there. Can you imagine an environment, a place in your home, in your house, where the eyes of the Lord are looking and overlooking the affairs of your children? When the devil plans to attack your child with a disease, he is looking and telling, shut up, get off, because this is my child. But the eyes of the Lord will be there. He'll be listening. When the enemy tries to plot plans against you, he'll be listening and staying away those demonic activities and attacks that have been wanting to assault your home. The eyes of the Lord will be in that home. The ears and the eyes of the Lord will be in that home. Praise be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for this year. He's going to do great things for us. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when he is rejected, says the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. We started this church about 4 years ago. We started this church in November 2007 in November. I thank God for there was a call of ministry upon my life. And when we responded to what the Lord did, we just went ahead. We didn't even know how to start a ministry. We didn't even know what to do. But the Lord has started this ministry, and there are things. When we started, there are things we can look back 4 years down the road and see, God, were it not for you, you have helped us accomplish certain things. Praise be to God. Now, some of you may not really know, or you may not really be aware that what the vision of our church is. But in this very year, we're going to explain, we're going to take time to understand what the vision of our church is. Praise be to God. The vision of our church is growing self-worth while maximizing potential in every soul we encounter through practical and purpose-filled, Christ-centered living. And this is exactly the mission of Jesus was. It was to grow self-worth in people. You talk about Zacchaeus as he walks down the street, you know, and Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, a sinner. But he is attracted to this man. He sees potential in Zacchaeus. He was a government official, but he didn't know the Lord. And he wanted to go against the norm of the day. And he comes to Zacchaeus and he tells him, you know, today, this day, I'm going to be your guest. That was the mission of Christ. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. we're going to talk about, we're going to see how the Lord imparted people, that the woman at the well, when Jesus comes in this to this woman who had about five women, he doesn't look at the peripheral situations of what this woman had, but she looked beyond her limitations. She looked beyond her weaknesses. And the Lord draws her closer to him so that she can get and grasp and develop the potential that was within her. Praise be to Jesus. And if we are called to be Christians and children of God, we got to see people beyond what they are and beyond their weaknesses and beyond their limitations. Glory be to Jesus. And we'll be talking much more about that this year. We'll be explaining what really our vision is all about. And so I was telling you that we started the ministry about 4 years ago. And there are a few things that the Lord has helped us to accomplish. As you all know, that we started our ministry from a hotel whereby we were paying a rent, you know, like a renter, a weekly renter for that room. And the Lord opened this facility. He opened up this facility that is about 5 miles from where we used to go. Now, when we came up here, there was completely nothing. We didn't, some of you just came when it's looking so beautiful. We didn't have this wall. All this wall you see here, we didn't have it. I think this wall here, we didn't have it. We didn't even have those rooms, the Sunday school class. We didn't have a kitchen. We didn't have even no carpet. We didn't have no seats. But we trusted the Lord. And Lord and behold, you can come into this house that is called by the name of the Lord and feel the warmth of the love of the children of God. We can come into this house and cry out to the Lord. So we thank God, first of all, for giving us a facility where we can come and call upon the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Since inception, we have also impacted so many lives. There are some of us that have been impacted by this ministry. You are here, you know, and worshiping in this church. There are some people who have passed through our church, you know, and they have been members, and they came for us for a time, and they have since left and gone their way. I believe that we have impacted so many lives. Praise be to God. The Lord has also helped us to accomplish certain things. I remember one of the greatest things that really comes into my mind is when we conducted a door-to-door ministry. How many of you can remember that? Going into the homes of our neighborhood and we told them about Jesus. We thank God for your sacrifice and for the way you came and hooking us up with some Hispanic brothers all the way from Oak Cliff, and we knocked on doors all across our neighborhood. I believe that it was intentional, and I thank God for that. That makes me feel good that we're able to knock on the doors and tell the people about the Lord. We've also been able to go out to Africa. You gave your monies, and when we went to Kenya, we went and we fed many people. It was during the country's tribal animosity, and people were put into some camps whereby the government sometimes would feed them, or well-wishers would come and feed them. We participated in that, and we gave them food, and we conducted massive, actually 3 medical camps to poor children in Kenya. That is what the Lord has helped us to accomplish. Praise be to God. We have also been able to build a very good foundation of prayer in our church. I thank God because I belong to this church, because this is a praying church where men and women can come and tarry throughout the night, you know, crying out to God, where people can find some time even during the day to come and pray. That is the greatest accomplishment. For I know there are many churches where they don't even open up their sanctuaries, or they don't even take time in prayer. It is the greatest asset that we can have as a church is an opportunity that we can be given to come and commune with our Father. And that, I think, is one of the greatest accomplishments that we've had, where people can come into this house and call upon the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. We've also been able to build one another's faith. We've been able to build one another in our most holy faith through fellowship and ministry. We've also been able to support poor children through World Vision. We're supporting actually some children through World Vision. The Lord also has also enabled us to develop the care ministry, whereby we have identified the needs amongst us, you know, people who are needy. And some of you have been recipients of gifts, you know, within the church. And we came at a time when you needed fellowship and you needed encouragement and you needed the warmth of one another. We've been able to accomplish that. And that one, I say, I thank God for that. Praise be to God. We've also been able to establish ministries that are growing, like the women ministry, the Sunday school, and the worship. Praise be to Jesus. And now as we face this new year, what are we focused to do? When I was seeking the Lord concerning the things that are ahead of us, church, I want you to be very focused and listen. The Lord was telling me and challenging me that we need to be mobilized as the entire church. Do we really know what our roles are, even as children of God? I believe it is time for us, even having had time to incubate on the love of the Lord within our fellowship. I believe it is time for us to know what our roles are, not within the house, but without, whereby we can get out into those doors, knowing our responsibility and roles as the children of God, so that we can reach out for a hurting world. Amen. The way we are going to accomplish that, we're going to have focused teachings that will be intended to mobilize us into our roles in ministry. Praise be to God. So going forward, we have men and women of God that have been endowed and blessed and have the call of ministry among us that are going to be delegated to teach us. Praise be to God. I want you to see this pulpit as a training ground whereby men can stand on this pulpit and teach us the word of God. And we are going to be doers of the word of God and not just hearers of the word, because blessed is the man who does what he hears and not only hears. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? We are also going to have intentional strengthening of all existing ministries. In the past, we've just had fellowships here in the house, and that is good, and prayer. But now we are going to step out and have maybe retreats, and we are going to have maybe like youth camps, send our young men to youth camps. We're going to organize that this year. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. The Lord has also been imprawling into me in terms of outreach. I feel the time has come, and I've shared with some of us here, the Lord has really imprawled into me. And I thank God, because Julius brought this up at some point, whereby we can have a food pantry in our church. Let me tell you, some of you may not really know, but in the course of the care ministry that is led by our Pastor Francis, we've been able to go into some homesteads, or we've been able to go to some places whereby we really saw the need, and people have not been speaking up. And I feel that there are people, we cannot just stay here as a fellowship, as a church, when our children and some families are going without food. So I believe, church, that this year we're going to establish a food pantry. And this is exactly how we're going to speak more about this. Like when you go buy your groceries, you can buy 2 cans of dry food, or you can buy, like a packet of frozen food or vegetables. And then we shall have a big freezer or somewhere, a center in our church, whereby we can bring these foods. And anybody who is hungry, anybody who doesn't have food, can get into the food pantry without even asking anybody and pick up what they need, and they can take it home. And so there will be food in the house of God. Is that well taken? I believe to develop this, and I believe with the help of the Lord that we can also approach our organizations that can donate foodstuffs, like groceries, and we can reach out, to the community. We can, for example, let's say like on a Wednesday, we'll have a groceries days whereby we invite the people from within the community so that they can come and hear the word of God, maybe through fellowship here in the church, and later give them groceries. Praise be to God. There's a church that is doing this. I don't know if some of you know, a church that is pastored by Pastor Steve Solomon. He used to come in on 90, when we used to have the 91.7 broadcast. I don't know whether some of you know Praise in the Night. Yeah, some of you know Steve Solomon. He has that ministry whereby people come every Wednesday from the community. Let me tell you, it is a very, very good outreach tool. It reminds me when Jesus gathered the multitudes, he didn't just send them away. But there are instances where we found that, he fed them and gave them food. And I believe that, this will be one of our greatest outreach tools with the help of our Lord. Amen? Praise be to God. So let us trust God. Just next neighbor, we used to have Alcoholic Anonymous, but I don't know how many of you know that place is vacant. We can trust God even for that room. I'm not saying that we're going to get it, but we can trust the Lord for that room. We can expand it. We can make it a center where people come, or even do a soup kitchen. I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud because, I felt in my heart the Lord imploring into me that it is time for us to get out the warmth that we've had in this church for a long time and affect the people of our community. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? We also, the other thing that the Lord has, we also, in forms of outreach, we are going to have, we also intentionally going to have other forms of outreach. We might even go knock on doors. Whatever the Lord, and I want you to have, if you have any ideas that can help us even reach out to the community, bring those ideas. There are people who are out there, like the young children, remember Wamboi and Susie, they were collecting a fund so that they could go and feed the homeless in Dallas. Can we make it happen in 2012? You know, until we go there and see what those people have done. I've done it myself sometimes, you know, some time back. And let me tell you, the need is great. Even if it, we are going to impact the life, the world of one person, Julius, as you normally say, it is the intention and the goal that we have. If we are not going to, we may not even change the entire world as ECC. But the people that God leads into our lives, we can change their lives. Amen? We can intentionally do that. So in terms of reaching out, God is going to, we're going to trust the Lord to help us so that we can reach out through these forms of outreach. You know, sometimes people are not really looking for you to go out with a big Bible and tell them, thus says the Lord. But sometimes, you know, the forms of outreach are many. You can just, we can just reach them out by our generosity, by giving out and by loving them. Let me tell you, ministry church, listen to me. Ministry is not, some people, are you listening to me? It is good to stand on this pulpit and come and declare the word of the Lord. But did you know, the ministers who have stood up here, they have more responsibility to answer to the Lord for what they spoke here and maybe never did. Are you listening to me? Everybody who stands on this pulpit has a responsibility to be accountable to the Lord for the things that he says and whether he follows them up. Ministry, real ministry is loving people. It is loving God and loving people. That is really ministry. Are you listening to me? Real ministry is not really standing on this pulpit. But there are many opportunities that are in the marketplaces. Like in your place of work, when you board the train, when you're in traffic, when you, I mean, there are very many sources of ministry. Loving your neighbor, knocking on somebody, get to know how they are doing. Love them, because God has put that love in your heart. Are you listening to me, church? Amen? And God has, and we'll be learning this, we'll be learning the roles of the ministers that the Lord has given us to speak to us, even as a congregation, and our roles will be looking into this even as we progress in the few weeks that are ahead of us. We also the other thing that is very, very important, the Lord has spoken into my heart, and we've been speaking with some of us, especially in the leadership. I believe it is time. Let me tell you, church, for those who didn't know, we pay about $2,000 for this facility. $2,000 grand. And for the about maybe 3 and so many months that we've been here, you do the math, how much money we've given to this landlord. Suppose we would take that money and invest it in an account and be paying up our facility that is our own. How about that? See, the good thing, and I know we are going to have, I hope we don't attract any Sanballat in my saying of this. The good thing about owning our facility, we can do changes in that facility the way we want. We can develop it. See, as much as we would want this rental place to be our place, this belongs to somebody. And we wouldn't want to spend a lot of money doing all the decorations. And we would like maybe to have a fancy pulpit and, you know, everything good and everything was maybe repainted and everything. But this is, at the end of the day, this is not our facility. But, you know, we were talking the other day with my brother, and we were finding out that we can find a building that we can own and even pay less than we are paying for this rental place. And now we'll be building equity on that building. We can do whatever we want. We can even initiate other developments in that property, knowing that it is our own property. Praise be to God. So this year, I believe that the Lord has imprinted in my heart that we need to initiate the process of owning our own building. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So we are going to have a committee that is going to check into what we are going to have, what it takes for us to have a building. Do we need to start? We don't want to strain in this. We don't want to really put ourselves into a financial pressure. But there's a way we can do it. You know, the committee needs to come with a way whereby we need to send aside some fund so that we can put down a down deposit or a down payment in order for us to get a building. Praise be to the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you this thing so that we can own up, so that we can pray about it, and so that we can make this our church. Amen. Make these things that I'm speaking to you your own, and the Lord is going to help us. I also believe that the Lord, when the Lord put in us going out across the USA to go and being a help to somebody else, particularly to some poor children, I believe we can do that. We don't also want to put ourselves in great pressure. What we have realized, even with just little money, we can go set up, you know, like a medical camp in a remote place like in Kenya or Uganda or whatever the Lord is going to direct us, and bring a change to somebody who is suffering out there. Amen. I will never forget this woman. When we went to Kenya, she had a small wound, and this is what she told us. You see this wound, Pastor? This wound, I've had it for almost 5 months because I didn't have money to go to see a doctor. And it started as a single swelling, a small swelling, and it grew up and developed to be septic. And she was crying when the doctors and the nurses that we had gathered together came and attended and gave her antibiotics and treated her wound. She was crying. Let me tell you, church, it is powerful, because the Lord in heaven sees the labor of your work. I mean, he sees the fruits of your labor, and he in return blesses you. Amen? So let us not neglect going out. We may not really raise a lot of money. We can even target maybe $3,000 or $4,000. We set up maybe a medical camp this year, or maybe go see some poor children, or do something that will be in relation to the fruit, I mean, that will be in relation of what we believe in as children of God. Amen? So I still believe that even though we may not really go as a big team, right now as I'm speaking to you, Sister Joan, you know Sister Joan? Sister Joan, who was a member of our church, they are worshiping in a church in the Caribbean, and the pastor has been so touched by what happened in Kenya that he has decided to partly sponsor the mission to Kenya. Joanne is calling her friends, from here, from wherever, and she is serious. They are organizing that we go to Kenya this year. So in a little way, we can come together, we can call our friends, and whatever amount of money, don't look down on whatever you might raise, because 10 shillings translates into almost 900 Kenya shillings in Kenya. Amen? So don't look down on what we might raise, and send one of us, or send Sister Joanne, while she is going to Kenya to do that mission. Praise be to God. There are so many things that are tied up to what I spoke here. You know, like I feel like we are also going to grow our media department, and the media department has so many multifaceted. We are thinking, we started actually recording, and by and by we're going to trust the Lord. Maybe God is going to open up a way so that we can go to a radio station or a TV station, whatever it is. The Lord is going to expand into that. We've been speaking with some of us about doing a movie for, you know, in our church, doing a movie and being a blessing to other people. I mean, there are so many things that we can do for the kingdom of God. Amen? And last but not least, there is the fellowship that has started in Oklahoma. Amen? The fellowship that started in Oklahoma, we want to be part and parcel of that fellowship. When they launch that fellowship, we want to be there and support the work of the ministry. Amen? We want to develop and help them so that they can start a fellowship in Oklahoma. And so this year, we're going to send some of us to go to Oklahoma to do teachings and to train those young men so that they can stand upright and do the work of God in Oklahoma. Amen? So in short, summarized, that is some of the things that I aspire for us to accomplish this year. Let us come to the end of the year and go through this list and say, okay, what are some of the things that we are able to accomplish and we'll be able to give God the glory? Praise be to God. Stand on your feet right now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this year, we don't want to make it as a tradition, but it's a good thing for us to go before the Lord, waiting upon the Lord in prayer and fasting. And this is exactly what we're going to do this year. We're going to take about 21 days to pray and fast concerning the things that I've told you, and concerning the things that will also be updating you even in the course of this prayer and fast. It is very, very important, church, listen to me. We are just about to end this service. Very, very important for every single one of us to participate. Prayer and fasting is not a difficult thing. And the way it works is this. When we pray and fast, we don't pray and fast so that the Lord can see the sacrifice. He can see the sacrifice. Oh, they have denied themselves, so I'm going to hear them. Oh, no. That's not the intention of prayer and fasting. But when we pray and fast, the reason for prayer and fasting is to deny ourselves, to deny the outer person food and the things that it really likes, so that the inner person may have an opportunity to reach out to the Lord. So that is the intention of prayer and fasting. I'd like every one of us to take, if you want to take 2 days, that's okay. If you want to take, but at least everybody should take a day. Amen? And I'll be passing out these forms here. And just before we do that, I would like to see, we are going to start to pray and fast this coming Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, and it's going to be for 21 days. I'd like for us to have at least every person, every day. And the way we're going to do this is going to be the standard of our prayer and fast from 6 to 6. If you're able to do more than that, you can do that. If you're not able to do that, I just told you this is a standard for our prayer and fast. Like, for example, we have some nursing parents, you know, here. You have little children, and you may not really be able to do the fast. You can do a fast. You can do like a breakfast fast. You can do a lunch skipping or a dinner fast, and the Lord is going to honor that. But that we're going to have is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then you can open up there with prayer, and you can open up your fast there. Is that clear? So I'd like to see how many people are going to take Mondays. Monday. Let me see by the show of hands. Is there anybody who doesn't want to? Oh, Tuesday, I'm saying. Monday, because the next Monday, we're going to have somebody staying in. Monday, lift up your hand, please. I need to see you. Okay. Huh? Not tomorrow, the other Monday. Oh, yeah, Tuesday. Note that everybody needs to participate, okay? Wednesday. This is a fast for everybody. Thursday. Thank you. Friday. Saturday. And Sunday. Sunday. Is there going to be somebody on Sunday?
Okay.
Huh? Yeah, you can do two. I told you the standard is 6 to 6. But if you want to do more than that, you can do it, okay? So this is what you're going to do. Before you go home, please, I'd like you to put your name here, the day that you selected. Put your email, and we'll be communicating with you and updating you and reminding you that this is your day so that you don't eat that day, okay? Are we together? Let us do this. And we're also going to send you, if you put your email here, there's some scriptures that are put down that we shall be standing on. The first scripture is Isaiah chapter number 54, verse 4 to 5. And this is what the Bible says. Fear not. This is exactly what we just read. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be you confounded, for you shall not be put to shame. For you shall forget the shame of your youth and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. And then 2 Chronicles is what we learned here yesterday. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And then 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This is exactly what we talked here today. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Matter of fact, the Lord has been speaking to me throughout this time that this will be part of our theme of this year. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will never neglect. Hosea 6:6. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifices, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. We'll put this to you. We'll send you this through email so just you can be reminded. Amen? Amen. Can you join the hands of the person standing next to you? Oh, we have not given our offerings. Praise the Lord. Let us just pray for this, what we have just spoken right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you, Father, for the things that I've outlined here today. I just want to thank you, Father, because you're going to cement these things, Father, and help us. And just as you have helped us, Lord, since the inception of our church, Lord, even as we go forward, Lord, the things that we have just declared here, Father God, let them be stamped in heaven. For the Bible says, whatever we bind here on earth, it's bound in heaven. Father, we shall ask anything that touches on us, Father, and you shall do it for us in the name of Jesus. For where two or three shall gather in your name, Father, you shall be there in their midst in the name of the Lord. Cement these things, Father. I pray that we shall expand our tents, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless these people that you brought into this house, oh God. And Father God, even as we unleash and as we delve into the word of God, I pray that it shall be well with our souls. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. I'm so sorry to take your time. I want to invite Pastor Wilson so that he can give us real quick the announcements and we can give unto the Lord and we'll be out of here. In Jesus' name.
First announcement. Visitors, do you have any visitors? You're here for the first time?